The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the very latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 355. And boy, I've been a busy boy in March. And I'd say just the last 24 hours have been pretty busy because yesterday, Sunday, episode 354, I had none other than the brand new Progress World Champion, Kid Lykos, on the show just 24 hours ago. Go and check that one out. And March has been a busy month on Wrestling with Jonas, starting off with Eddie Dennis joining me live on the show at the beginning of the month. Jack Landers joined me as well live, as well as Kurt Atlas. And quite recently, Millie McKenzie came onto the show in March. So it's been a busy, busy month on Wrestling with Jonas. And my schedule for April is already out. And the star guest for April is none other than Flash Morgan Webster on Monday, the 8th of April. But today, it's all about that person there, the warrior spirit, Echo. And I don't often have returning guests on Wrestling with Jonas. But nearly 4 years on, you've rejoined me. And great to have you back on the show. Echo, welcome to Wrestling with Jonas once again.
It's good to be back. It's been a very long, different 4 years compared to the last time I was here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not going to take a deep dive into your very early beginnings. We might touch on it at one or two stages during the interview, but I'm curious to know, kind of like, since we last spoke in about May 2020, when lockdown was at its heights and nobody was going anywhere, and every wrestler was given interviews. Like I said, I spoke to Echo under a different name back 4 years ago. But I mean, talk to me about kind of the last 4 years and where you are now. And in a nutshell, what sort of a different Echo do we have in 2024?
I think now in 2024, I've grown up a lot and I've kind of realised a bit more who I am as a person and as a wrestler. So it's a nice change to realise, like, having just that lockdown in general, let alone the last 4 years, makes you realise what you want to do when you've got nothing to do, I guess. Because, like, at the start, I was very slow into the wrestling world. I was in the middle of nowhere in Plymouth at the start, to then here I am now. I'm now in South Wales. So, like, a lot can change, and, like, a lot can change as a person as well. So the people that met me all those 4 years ago met a very shy and timid Echo that's not so much the same anymore. She's still there, but it's not so much.
Not so much. And I never like to embarrass my guests, but this is kind of what we were talking about 4 years ago, you know, an uber baby face, if ever I've seen one. And today, a little bit more serious. The gear is awesome. We'll talk about the gear and the attitude a little bit later on. But let me ask you, obviously, we brought up the two pictures there, and, you know, obviously the slight name change, the gear, the gimmick, the extraordinary opportunities and experience that you faced over the last couple of years, let alone the last 4 years. But when would you say was the starting point? When did you say to yourself, or when did you have that conversation with some of your peers that, you know, things aren't quite working, I need to switch things up a little bit? What was the kind of seeds of the Echo that we know nowadays?
So when I started at a very different school. And when I left that school, I realised, like, I didn't really have anything to fall back on. Like, I didn't really have any bookings anywhere. I wasn't established anywhere because I didn't really know who I was as a person. So I think taking, like, that time off and, like, not so much sacrificing bookings, because I still had bookings, it just wasn't anything major. It was more like focusing on training and realising, like, what do I want to do? And realising, like, what I'm doing now isn't enough. I was trying harder or my hardest. I was just coasting by and hoping for the best and hoping for, like, opportunities to come instead of pushing myself to get them. So I think having that time away and realising what I needed, and what I needed was a good training school and people that knew what they were talking about to help me get to where I wanted to be. And I think that's primarily what helped me realise what Echo the Warrior Spirit is and realizing that you kind of just have to be yourself and just amplify it by 100.
Yeah, totally. Couldn't agree with you more. We will take a deep dive. We will kind of look into all of that in a great deal of detail. But let me ask you, over the last 4 years and thinking about the echo that we have now, what do you think is your biggest area of growth that you believe you've developed in over more recent time? And I think you was alluding to possibly, you know, since starting with New Wave in South Wales in Newport to now, you know, there's been a huge amount of growth. But what would you say are kind of your biggest areas of growth that you're most proud of?
I think now I kind of understand a bit more what is needed from me. Like, I think back 4 years ago, I was just trying to be this young, like, high flyer and try and be as cool as possible. And realistically, being cool isn't the main priority, to be honest. Like, I don't need to be doing, like, crazy hurricane runners anymore. Like, that's great in order to have, like, my arsenal, but it's, like, it's not what made me the wrestler that I am. So I think the biggest growth for me was realizing, like, what do I do best and how can I make that better to then make other people look better instead of just making myself look cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And those hurricane runners, they kind of did the trick back in the day, but not quite fitting your character. But you've got it in your back pocket if ever you need it. I neglected to mention, of course, we are live across X, Twitch, YouTube and Facebook. So anybody watching live, if you want to get in touch with the show, if you want to get in touch with Echo and send in your questions, then you can do. Please send them through to us using your chosen device and we'll do our very best to answer every single one. Let me ask you, 2024 has been a fantastic year for you. We're only 3 months in, remarkably. Let me ask you, did you have a kind of a mindset or an action plan or any plans going into 2024, especially off the back of 2023 and what a great year it was for you and the momentum that you had coming off the back of 2023? Did you have any particular, you know, goals, targets or a particular mindset coming into the new year?
So, yeah, 100%, like, 2023 was my favourite year so far, and I told myself, like, right, well, how can I make that better this year for 2024? So my mindset going in was, right, I want to be comfortable and happy with the shape I'm in, so I'm currently in a plan with Dan Bryden, and it's the best thing I've done so far, like, losing the weight, getting more confident in myself, and making myself look more like a wrestler. Like, I don't want to look like just a random person in the street. I want to look like a wrestler. So that, and I also told myself, like, I want to be as good as I can be. And to do that, you have to train. You have to wrestle people that know what they're doing. And I told myself this year, if I can do anything, I don't necessarily care about the bookings. I care about who I'm wrestling. What can I get from this match? What can I give in this match? And, like, I just want to learn this year. Like, I get, like, I've been wrestling for, like, 4 years, but I had, like, a little pause point where I wasn't learning anything new. This year, I want to learn as much as possible. I'm just going to cram it in. Just want to get as much from it as possible and, like, literally just wrestle the best, because the best way to learn is to get in there with the best wrestlers. So if I can wrestle as many people that are way better than me as possible, then I'm literally going to be so happy, because I'm only going to get better from it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some top stars that you've been in the ring with in 2024 very, very soon. But you teed us up nicely there, and you spoke about the work you've been doing with Dan. I'm guessing he's your fitness coach and looking at improving your physique and your overall appearance. And just a before and after picture there, and there is definitely a difference. But tell us a bit about, you know, the work that's gone into that and the work that continues to go into it to get you to where you're really happy. So you want to look more like a professional wrestler. And I think the picture on the right was definitely demonstrating that already. But tell us a bit about the transformation and the work that's going into it.
So the picture that was on the left was on the last day I was in America. So literally the last day that we had in Tennessee, that was that morning. And I remember, like a week or two beforehand, I'd seen Mulligan's, like, transformation he put on Instagram. And I thought, oh, wow, that's actually really good. So I remember I messaged Dan and I was like, right, I want to sort this out, because I wasn't happy. I, like, you can see in the picture, I wasn't in great shape, but I knew that I wanted to change it. And instead of just complaining about it, I was just like, well, take my finger out my ass if I can do it in it. So
yeah,
got to crack on. But it's been really hard. Like, it's not easy. And I'm not a perfect client. Like, Dan can tell you, like, I don't pass every week. Like, there's like a pass system. I don't pass every week. I'm not a perfect client, but I won't quit. So that's what makes me a good enough client to stay on. But like, everyone has bad weeks. Like, there's weeks where I'll miss a session at the gym, or I'll be a little bit off my macro like percentages. But it's like, I don't let it get me down as much as I used to, but I'm still working hard to get in the shape I want to be in, because I've got like a long-term goal in my head where I want to be or what I want to look like. And Dan's amazing at helping me get to where I need to be and talking me through the science, because I haven't got a clue how any of it works. So if I was doing it by myself, I wouldn't be looking like that.
Yeah, doing a great job, and the results are definitely showing already. And we've got Spinebuster Media watching us live at home via YouTube. Thank you so much. Echo deserves every opportunity and success she gets. Work so hard inside and outside of the ring to be the best she can be. Major respect. And I know that you've performed on one or two Spinebuster tapings, haven't you, Echo? And we're going to talk about one of those matches in particular a bit later. But big up to Spinebuster. Thank you so much for watching. And thank you for everything you do in the British wrestling industry. I want to talk about some highlights. And let's be honest, I think yesterday was probably one of your biggest highlights of the year, maybe one of the biggest highlights of your career so far. And it's just fortuitous that we have you on the show today, when yesterday you were making your debut for Rev Pro, and not just making your debut for one of the biggest wrestling companies in the UK, but making your debut for Rev Pro against Alex Windsor. Now, kind of, you know, a bit of a pinch yourself moment there, to be honest with you. But let me ask you, when you got that text message, that email, that phone call through from Andy or whomever at Rev Pro saying, Echo, we want to bring you on board. Let's have your debut for Rev Pro. It's St Neots, wasn't it, in Cambridgeshire? And your match is going to be against Alex Windsor. Tell us about your reaction when you first got that call.
To be fair, at first I was very shocked. I didn't expect it at all. Like, it was not in my bingo card for at least the first half of 2024. Like, I've been working hard, but I wasn't expecting like reward straight on. I was expecting it in like in the long run, so it was a nice surprise. But I was already booked from the 24th, so I had to let a good friend down, bless him. But he took it very well, and he was like, "You got to do Rev Pro. It's Rev Pro." So it worked out well. No one was like upset, but I felt bad to be selfish, you know, because like it's a big opportunity, but especially to wrestle with someone as good as Alex Windsor. Like, I don't get wrestle people very, like, big experience very often. 9 times out of 10, I'm in there with people as new as me or as newer than me. So it's quite hard to get, like, a big hype match when you're the most experienced person in a match. So it was nice to wrestle someone with the experience that Alex Windsor has.
Yeah, and let me ask you, I don't know if you got the train or drove down to St Neots yesterday, but where was your mind at? Were there any butterflies, any nerves kind of heading towards the venue? And what was you like just before you stepped through that curtain?
In like the build-up towards it, I was very nervous. But then on the actual day, I was more excited than I was nervous, because I've got like in my head so many times before, now I'm just like, just live in the moment. If it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. It is what it is. Just try your best. Goes well, brilliant. If it doesn't, oh well, you might get another chance. You might not. It's not the end of the world. So I've kind of like told myself, always think of the positive now, because I've spent too many days upset with wrestling when it hasn't gone my way. So I'm trying this year to just think positively. So it worked out, because I wasn't in my head as much on Sunday. The match was actually quite good. I've got, obviously, there's bits that I need to work on, but like that's going to be the case for a while. But I'm more than happy to hear it and work on it, because I don't want to be someone that's like never getting any better in the long run, you know? I want to be as good as possible. And the only chance to do that is with these opportunities that I've been given and just going balls to the wall with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm guessing that working for Rev Pro against, you know, a pros pro in Alex Windsor, that's kind of given you a bit of a taste and a lot of momentum coming out of that match and that show. I'm guessing you want more of that, don't you?
Oh, honestly, I'd love it. Like, and she's fantastic as well. Like, super, super amazing talent Alex Windsor is. And I've wrestled with people like her before. Like, I wrestled Dani Luna before, and people like that, like, blows my mind. Like, they're that good, and they are where they are today because of it. But if I can get to anywhere near that level, then I'm happy, you know?
Yeah. And another company you made your debut for, I think just over a month ago, beginning of February, and we have to talk about this one here, Pro Wrestling Eve. And you talk about kind of, you know, big promotions, big important promotions, and Pro Wrestling Eve, they are considered one of the leading all-female groups, not just in the UK or Europe, but globally. They've got so much respect. And once again, I'm going to bring up that graphic, but a massive debut for you, teaming with Sky Smithson, and going up against Maya Matthews and another very, very experienced pro, former guest of the show, Session Moth Martina. Another kind of pinch yourself moment, and like I say, a wonderful opportunity, a lot of talent in that ring, of a mix of experience levels as well, and you're in there teaming with Sexy Sky.
Yeah,
tell us about it.
Like, just the build-up towards debuting at Eve was amazing. Like, it was a really nice thing, because I've been told I've been put forward by a handful of people, so it was really nice to know that people thought highly of me in the first place. I was like, oh, I didn't realise, because I got told by some people to, like, message Dan, put my name out there, and they were like, we've all spoke highly of you, send a match, hopefully you'll get on, and it worked, and very grateful for everyone that stuck their neck out for me. But yeah, no, that match was probably one of the most fun I've had in a very long time. It's a very strange, odd match, but still probably the most fun I've ever had. But Sexy Sky Smithson, the pest that she is, like, never fails to crack me up. And Maya Matthews is great. And she's so young, so she's got, like, ages to just be like, phew. And Session Moth Martina, she's crazy, but she's brilliant.
Yeah, and we've had Spinebuster Media watching us at home, still live, I believe, on YouTube, sent us a question in earlier on, or a comment in. But you faced Sky Smithson at the tapings last May, didn't you? I think that was a big match for you at the time. I interviewed both yourself and Sky possibly before and after your matches. It was a hell of a day and a really great match. What do you remember about that one against Sky at the Spinebuster tapings last May?
I met Andy, like, years ago, and we've always been, like, quite nice to each other. Like, I think Andy's brilliant. And I remember he'd always used to ask me, like, who do you want to wrestle? And I'd always say Mina McKenzie and Sky Smithson, because at the time, that's who I thought was, like, amazing. I really want to wrestle them to see if I'd be any good. And I remember when he told me I was wrestling both of them on the same day, I was like,
wow.
Oh, shit. I was like, wow, okay. And wrestling Millie, fantastic. But then the last match of the evening was me and Sky, and it was at like 10 p.m. Both of us were knackered, and it was like still a great match. I thought I still had the best time. I still have that match saved on my drive to send to people, because I really enjoyed the match and I love Sky to pieces. But I've wrestled her a few times now, and I love her. I think she's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And all of those matches are available on Spinebuster Media's YouTube channel. So go and check them out. It's definitely worth a subscribe. So get on that today. Another pitch I want to bring up, and I did have to kind of get a bit of clarification from you before we went live, but on your social posts, there you are with some of the new wave boys, as Beano there, Bronco, and the Brill, and yourself over on the left-hand side over in Budapest. So tell us a bit about that, because I wasn't entirely sure you had to fill in the blanks before we went live. But tell us a little bit about your trip to Budapest, which I think was also this month, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so that was we went up on the 10th of March and we came back on like the 12th early in the morning. But we wrestled in Budapest on the 11th of March on the Sunday. But Brendan got given an opportunity to bring a few trainees over because he's good friends with the head coach at the Budapest Dojo. So he just brought a bunch of us over, picked who wanted to showcase the new wave. And I was quite grateful and honoured that he had picked me to represent the girls. That was quite a nice feeling to know that I was chosen, to be honest. And getting over there, like, the scene is actually quite good. Like, I didn't really know what to expect going over there. I thought maybe, like, it would be very different. But, like, there's a lot of similarities to European wrestling and British wrestling, but they there's like a whole different like talent pool over there that's so different, and like that none of them are the same, but they all wrestle like so uniquely. And I wrestled a girl called Eva Koloski, and she was amazing. And I'm waiting for the footage of that show to come out, but I that's one of the most like the best matches I've had, and she was great. And I was so grateful that I'd been given the opportunity to go over to Budapest, because honestly, I want to go back. It was actually a really fun time, and the girls over there are sick. Like, they're actually really good.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I had Scotty Rourke on the show a month or so ago, and he was talking about the scene over in Poland and getting booked over in Poland, loving it over there. And of course, I had Heidi Katrina and Starbuck on the show in February, obviously covering the Finnish wrestling scene. And you've just educated me there. I didn't realize that Hungary and Budapest especially has a bit of a scene going on over there. So it's really cool to learn that there's so much more than just our little bubble that we focus on every single day. And it's cool that you're getting opportunities out there. But another company I want to talk about that's giving you some opportunities, I think two or three matches over the last year or so, is Pro Wrestling Chaos. Now, you made your debut for them in about March of last year in a gauntlet match. But then just a few months later, and I think this was early June, you had a chance at the Maiden of Chaos Championship, held then by Livy Grace. So your second ever match for Pro Wrestling Chaos, and there you are in a championship match against the formidable badass Livy Grace. Like I say, another one of them kind of pinch yourself moments and opportunities that you can't turn down, but a hell of an occasion. And just two matches in. Tell us a bit about that opportunity.
So we got the opportunity because Livy Grace was nasty. She attacked myself, Aluna Blue, Rain, and LA Taylor backstage. And to be fair, like, it's not nice being attacked. So, given the opportunity, I went to the Chaos guys and I said, "Look, I want to wrestle Livy Grace." And they said, "Yeah, no worries." They put it out there. Livy said yes. So it was nice to have a chance against the Maiden of Chaos, because that. Something that I used to really want, like I still want it now, but like I remember when I first started wrestling, I remember seeing like Chaos was like up there for top two people I really want to wrestle for. So when I got to do it early on in the March and in a gauntlet match, even though it's only a small part in a match and I didn't win, it was still like, wow, I'm good enough to be on a show like Chaos. But then to come back, wrestle for the Maiden of Chaos Championship, it was like, okay, maybe I'm better than I think I am, because I'm here for a reason. That's what I've been told lately, anyway. If you're there,
Absolutely.
someone wants you there. But it's so strange, because like people in my family are not used to like compliments, so we're really bad at taking them. So it was nice, but it was honestly the best match I've like had in ages at that point. And like the start of like, well, to be fair, the whole of 2023 was amazing, and just to be able to do that match alone, one of the best years ever.
Yeah, and you've been back again this year, very recently for Pro Wrestling Chaos in a match against Violet Knight, I understand. Getting your first win under your belt in a Pro Wrestling Chaos ring, and so Livy Grace is no longer the champion anymore. Kanji is the new champion. I think she took the belt from Livy last weekend. So now you've
Yeah.
got a win under your belt. They've got a new Maiden of
I
Chaos champion there. You
lost.
know,
I'm a loser. I lost to
wouldn't.
Violet Knight. Beat me.
Oh, did you lose?
I lost.
Oh, I read it wrong. I do apologize. But
It's all right.
Kanji, the new champion. I mean, I don't think you've faced Kanji before. Would that be a first time encounter?
That would be a first time encounter, and it's something I would love to happen. I think Candy's one of the best wrestlers in the UK right now, like male or female. I think she's fantastic. So one can hope.
There we go. And I apologize for getting my facts wrong there. I'll have to
That's
polish my glasses extra shiny next
okay.
time. But I was
Should have just
convinced you
ran
had
with
your
it. Pretend that I
first
won.
win under
Fine.
your belt. But let's see, we are. I mean, so we spoke back in May 2020. We've already covered this, of course. And you were telling me during that interview that you were keen to train in as many places as possible. And one of the places you mentioned was WAW with the Knights over in Norwich. You mentioned about all the schools you'd been to back then and how you were so keen to kind of travel around and go to as many schools as possible. And you have done that. But let's talk a bit more about New Wave Wrestling, New Wave Academy, based in Newport. Brendan White and the gang of fantastic trainers over there in Newport. How did you first come onto their radar, and when did you first start training with Brendan and the guys over there?
So it would have been around December 2022, I believe. Things weren't going great at my first training school, and a bunch of us were just not happy with the quality of training we were getting. We just wanted good training. We didn't really care about the bookings. And Eddie Ryan was like, I don't have a school. I can't help you guys in that sense, but I can push you to places that are good and that will help you guys. And he put us forward and said, you should go to New Wave. They just opened up. It's got really good coaches. You've got Brendan White, Wild Boar, Danny Jones, Nico Angelo, got Danny Luna. He's like, you've got six coaches that are all on the scene right now and killing it. He's like, you should go there, because at the time it was like the closest one. And then he's like, if you can't go there, go to Joel Redman at All Star South and like train with them, like with Bullet and Niwa. He's like, these are the schools you can go to. But a group of us every Wednesday, it would be a full car of five of us. It rotated each week. 9 times out of 10, I was in that car because I was just so keen to train. And we drive about 2 hours up to Newport every Wednesday and just train there because we had nowhere else to go. And they welcomed us in with like welcome arms. All of us loved it there. And to be fair, like, they still drive up now. Like, I moved to Wales, but those are the guys still come up and train now because it is just an amazing training school. And to be fair, we wouldn't have known it was there if it wasn't for Eddie Ryan putting us forward and putting in a good word for us with Brendan, saying, would you mind if they come up? I think they're advanced. He's like, but if it's your decision, it's your school, starting from the bottom. And to be fair, he let us try out a Wednesday session, said, yeah, no, you guys are fine. Just come training, enjoy training. Just, it took the pressure off training as well, because like, training in my first school, it was like, he made everything like a big deal. If you did bad, it was the worst thing in the world. Whereas at New Wave, if you mess up, you mess up. It's wrestling, it's fine. You're allowed to mess up. It's not going to be perfect 100% of the time. So it was a nice feeling to know, oh, this is what training should be like. And we went there weekly until Lions Den Plymouth opened up in the new year at the time, which was 2023. And we would just go to each, because we still love going to New Wave, but we still love being trained by Eddie Ryan. So we would go to both schools, because these schools don't hold you back and tell you you can't go train somewhere else. God forbid.
Yeah. Let's stick with New Wave for a little bit longer, because you've listed the wonderful coaches that are there. How do you think you've benefited the most from working under some of them coaches? And what do you think you've some of the things you've learned, or some of the areas that you've benefited the most, especially from being with New Wave?
So ability-wise, already 10 times better. But like, I think most of us would agree, like, confidence-wise, it was what was needed. Because like, down where we were before was so negative and it was so nasty all the time. It was like, it took away the fun of wrestling. So having, going to a school that was positive, and they tell you if you do something wrong, but they wouldn't make it like the end of the world. They tell you, oh, this is how you can do it better. This is how we need to do to improve. They would make it like not an impossible task to achieve. They'd help you get to where you need to be. So just changing that, the whole mindset towards training and wrestling, was purely what was needed for most of us, because a lot of us loved wrestling, but it was just going down because we were just told we weren't very good all the time, but we're never told how to get better. So just going to a school with like five coaches that just want to help. They don't care how good you are. They just want to help you get good and get to where you need to be. And they don't care if you mess up in training. They care about your effort and showing up and keep coming back. So it was nice to be in the place that just welcomed you straight away and never said anything bad about you, to be honest. It was quite nice.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? And refreshing to have that positive mindset and that positive atmosphere and culture within all of the trainees and the recruits there and the trainers. And they put on some marvellous shows as well for their trainees, for their recruits. And they throw in a mixture of experience levels in the matches. You've had some wonderful matches yourself. You mentioned her earlier, but I think your first match for New Wave was against Danny Luna. You faced Rain Leverkusen and a few other matches, including a big eight-man tag this past weekend. But tell us about some of your opponents in some of them new wave shows. And like I say, getting the chance to wrestle one of the coaches, Danny Luna, another great opportunity and a fantastic learning experience being in the ring with somebody as talented as that.
So that match last year was my second match of 2023. And it wasn't actually meant to be Dan Luna at first. It was meant to be myself versus Luna Blue at the time, Luna now. But unfortunately, she got injured just before the match. And I remember Brendan telling me, he's like, you're going to wrestle Dan Luna instead. And I remember just being like, oh, okay. Because I was like, that's like ticked off what I wanted to do last year anyway. I wanted to wrestle Dan Luna. And I got to do it in, like, the first month of the year. So at first, I was so nervous, but, like, and I was in the shape I was in that first picture on the left beforehand. I wasn't in good ring shape. I was blown. I was so out of shape. But, like, I had fun in a match, which I hadn't been able to do. Felt like the first time I ever had fun in a match. And even to this day, I still watch that match back, and I don't hate it because I was in there with someone that knew what they were doing. And, like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it was just a nice experience. Like, I hadn't had a lot of many nice experiences in wrestling, so it was quite nice to wrestle someone as good as she is. So, and, like, that was just, like, the starting point. And then to be told, oh, you're wrestling Rain Leverkusen as well, I was like, oh, sick. I hadn't wrestled her before. I watched a bunch of her stuff, and I thought she was amazing. So being thrown in there and just not messing up, not, like, but having fun, you know, doing well and getting good feedback from coaches and, like, being told what you need to do to, like, to get better and, like, not having a bad experience of it, to then have a bit of time off. I did a fundraiser as well last December as well, and that was with Ruby Manitoba, who I've wrestled before and love her to pieces, and that was a good match. That was fun. One of the most fun ones I've had with her as well. And then recently, eight-man tag with the Four Front Boys. Yeah.
That's the one.
Cracks me up. And then just to be in there with people like that just really good, and everyone at New Wave is so positive and so nice, and just they all just love wrestling, and just to be around like that sort of atmosphere is like, it's just contagious. As soon as someone's just like so hyped, so happy about wrestling, it just brings your mood straight up, and you just have a better match because you're having a better time. So it's just such a nice place to wrestle and to be at, to be honest.
Yeah, and I want to talk a bit more about training schools now, and we've got to talk about this experience over in Knoxville, Tennessee, JPWA, the Jacobs Pritchard Wrestling Academy. You were over there from June through till September. Now, we have kind of had Ruby Manitoba and Jordan Sparks on here, and they covered off their part of the trip in great detail. But I'm really, really keen to kind of get your version of events, your take on your 3 months out there, just to bring up some pictures. There are the two main guys behind JPWA. You've obviously got Glenn Jacobs, Mayor Glenn Jacobs, my apologies, and I don't want to upset him. He's a big guy, wrestles under a mask sometimes, apparently. And Dr. Tom there, former guest of the show. There you are at your digs, looking like you're enjoying your time out there. And like I say, down to brass tacks, down to serious business in front of Dr. Tom himself, and some pictures kind of backstage and just chilling with the great man. But we obviously know that you had a blast out there and a wonderful time, wonderful experience. But when you were over there with Dr. Tom, what were some of your favourite aspects of kind of day-to-day training or day-to-day life in Knoxville? Tell us about it.
So first of all, it was just nice to have like a set routine. Like we would train Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, just normal wrestling, and then Wednesdays was 2 hours of just promos. So just spending like 5 days a week with Dr. Tom itself is like insane. It just blows your mind, like, oh, that's just a normal thing you're going to do for 3 months. So that already was like a crazy like thing to be able to be doing. But like, it was hot in Tennessee in the summertime, so we chose the worst time but the best time to go, because it was the best experience ever to fully live out Tennessee in all its glory. But it was so hot, and it's in this like big like unit, and they've got like four big industrial fans. It's not really doing much. It's like 90 degrees or more, And it's just crazy. And like, we're all sweating, Doc's sweating. It's things you wouldn't think would see happening in your day-to-day life. But like, just being around that man, he's like the coolest dude you'll ever meet. Like, he's so funny, but like, he knows he's funny, but he doesn't try to be funny. He's just naturally just a very funny person with the things he says, or like the things that he finds funny himself are so stupid, but like, that makes it funnier. But yeah, it was just like, that whole experience was just crazy to me, because like, just the people we met and the training we did, it was just nothing we'd ever done before. And like, the scene over in Tennessee is mad. Like, they're all just super lovely people. Because like, Dr. Tom put us forward for a match at Joker Center Promotions, which is now the Southeast Territory for NWA. He put us forward for that, and we had a mixed tag match. It was myself and Jordan Sparks versus Rumaya Tobra and Toby St. John. And just that one match alone in like the first 2 weeks we were there got us bookings around for the rest of 3 months, like the rest of those 3 months, because just them seeing us once, they were so nice and were like, they just put us forward everywhere because they hadn't seen British wrestling before, apparently. So they were sort of like amazed by it, which was so strange to us, because for us it's just normal, but for them it's so like crazy different. And so he literally just stopped putting his neck out for us one time, just got us everywhere for like the rest of those 3 months. And from that we met AJ and Casey Kazana, who are signed at NWA, and the Kenzie and Kylie Page, who we met there, and Ruby Manitoba wrestled both. I wrestled Kylie, and just being able to wrestle those people is pretty cool to say you've done. And like, that whole experience itself is just crazy to us. And like, we all of us again are planning to go back again at some point this year to go back out and get our name out there one more time. It's just, we all just love like the whole shebang of it. The training, great. The shows, great. And like, just overall life over there is so different, but it's amazing. But food, don't eat too much of it, you will get chonk. But it's just like a whole different world over there compared to here in the UK. And I think that's probably why we all loved it so much, because all of us are like small town people that have just grown up in a really small place, so then suddenly go to like a massive area. You can't walk anywhere, you've got to drive. You can't like walk to the local shop. There isn't a local shop. You just live around, everything's spaced out. It's like, it's not like a city here where like you've got like apartment buildings dotted next to each other and everyone's crammed into a little space. It's just spread out so much. You just have to drive 10 minutes on the road to get like some milk somewhere. So it's like completely different to like everything you've ever grown up with. So it's so strange. And like, everything over there is just super cool, to be honest. Other than driving on the wrong side of the road is so strange. I remember like the funniest bit was on like the first day we were there, as soon as we landed, we got this car, right? And we drove on like the right side of the road for majority of it until like the last like 20 minutes. Toby just hadn't realised, it was so late at night and like the roads were so empty, he just didn't realise he was just driving on the left because it was dark. So, but no, nothing happened. And then suddenly he just goes, oh, I'm on the wrong side. And we were just like, what? He's like, been driving on the left for a few minutes, to be honest. No one noticed, it's fine. But it's just so funny that like, you just don't think about those things because it's so normal over there for them. But you just think, what?
Yeah. And like I say, here is a picture of yourself and Jordan making your entrance for one of your matches there. And there's a bit of a show graphic. You mentioned about some of the mixed tag. Tell us a bit about that one then, because that looks like a triple threat mixed tag team match. You got Clara and JAC versus yourself and Jordan versus Ruby and Toby St. John. It looks like a fun match. What do you remember about that one?
So that was like a really strange day. So like on that day, we had two matches. We had that one in the evening. We had one beforehand in the daytime. And they had like a bring your own chairs to this like pizza place parking lot. And I didn't know that was a normal thing, but that was a normal thing apparently in America. You just put a ring in somewhere in a parking lot, people just bring their own chairs and come watch wrestling. And on that day was the day that I wrestled Kylie Page or Kylie Alexa. And Ruby Manitoba wrestled Kenzie Page to end the Women's Championship. So that was insane. Wrestled them in the middle of a parking lot full of like, there's not many people there, but people were there, so that's cool. And it's filmed to then, it was scorching hot, so you're sweating like mad, to then go in the evening and be thinking, oh, it's gonna be a really odd match, because it's in a baseball stadium, but it's not like on the field, it's like right by like the entrance slash exit. And set the ring up. We thought, not if we were going to stay and watch this, are they? Because they have like a wrestling themed baseball game. So like every time like a new, I don't really know baseball, every time someone would come up to swing a bat or something, they'd have like a different wrestler's like from like the Attitude Era, like on the Tron, to like, oh, this person's Kurt Angle, this person's The Rock. And it was quite cool, to be honest, because Glenn Jacobs came, he was the honorary pitcher for the match, because it was in Tennessee. And it was like a pretty cool experience just watching it before the show started. And as the baseball game ended was when the wrestling show started, and it was so strange. And that match was on first. And we didn't really know what to expect, because we couldn't see who was staying to watch the show and who wasn't. And I believe JAC and Clara were out first, and it was loud. It was so loud. We were like, oh, I'm going to guess there's quite a lot of people here then. And then myself and Jordan came out next, and we were like, holy shit. Because it was like, people had just seen that there was a wrestling ring up, and they just crammed in, and it was like filled up. There was like probably like 200 people just crammed into like one little space. And then you had a bunch of people like trying to watch from the back, people up on this balcony trying to look down and see what's going on. And just from like that first match, it was so loud. And like, that was probably my favorite match of the whole of like the trip in America, because like the crowd there was insane. And we didn't do anything crazy. It was just a triple threat mixed tag match. It was just a weird experience. I'd never done a mixed tag triple threat match before in my life. So that was the first for me. And just having like a crowd like that hype to see something. And they're not even like wrestling fans. They were just baseball fans coming to see a baseball game based on wrestling because the mayor was in town. You know, it's so strange to like have people like that invested in you, but they have no idea what wrestling is. But they were still like so behind us all. And it was just a mad experience. And like, I remember as soon as like that match was done, we were all just like, that was insane. Like, we weren't expecting anything big, because we just didn't, like, even like the promoter was like, I don't know how big it's going to be. It might be empty. It might be packed, because it's in the middle of the stadium just by the exit. And absolutely round. And people stayed for like the whole show. Like, there's some people trying to get out, obviously, because they had kids, like they were trying to leave. But most of them, it was just like crazy. Like a four match card. It wasn't anything big, but it was mad. And it was honestly, it was insane. It was like the best show I'd done in America. And it was sick. I've never had like a crowd that loud before, just in a really small little space trying to get out of the stadium.
Yeah, that's really cool. And what other aspects of being over in the States and over in Tennessee in particular did you enjoy, just day-to-day life? And like I say, besides the heat and the lack of air conditioning while you were training, were there any other aspects that you do miss in particular?
There's so much. Like, I miss, it sounds stupid, but I miss Planet Fitness in America. Like, theirs is crazy. Like, it's just quite a big gym. It sounds so boring of an answer, by the way. But they have, like, sun beds, and they have, like, massage beds. And it's, like, not actually expensive at all. So we'd sign up for that. And, like, we finish our gym session. We went every day. And we'd just go on, like, a massage bed for, like, 20 minutes. And because they thought we were really cool because we were British, they would, like, give us, like, extra time on these, like, sun beds and, like, and these, like, tan and, like, the massage beds. And be like, oh, you can have 30 minutes on that if you want. I'm like, yeah, thanks. So miss that, and all like the staff at Planet Fitness, because they loved us. Big up to boss man Chris, he was the best. And he did, I don't know if you saw it, they filmed like that stupid Lunk Alarm video. Toby and Jordan filmed it, and it's like this big dude at the gym like this pointing at him. That's Chris. If you ever find that video, it's really funny. It's somewhere online. But I missed that. And I missed, they have really cheap like chiropractors over there. So they have like this like chain of it called The Joint, which sounds a bit weird. But you literally just pay like $60, which is like 50 quid. And you can just go as many times as you want, and they'll just sort your back out, which is like luxury for a wrestler, not gonna lie. So you don't have that here. So as soon as you came back, we were just like, oh, I miss that chiropractor. Just, you walk in, and literally in 2 minutes, you just push everything, like crack everything, pull it all out, and then you'd be like, right, yeah, next person. And it's literally just 2 minutes of your life, and everything's like just feels good again. So I missed that because that was like amazing. Sounds so stupid, such boring picks. I missed the gym and a chiropractor.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. And we've actually got Pro Wrestling Eve watching us live via YouTube, and they're not a big fan of the public transport over in the US. Non-existent compared to over here in the UK. So thank you, Pro Wrestling Eve, for watching this live.
One bus. One bus and the whole thing up to there drove past like one bus. But you just don't, you see bus stops, but no one's ever at them. I've never seen a bus stop at one.
And we've actually got, let's have a look, we've got Megan Harlan watching this via YouTube. Would you come to All Star Wrestling South? Now, I know that you did go to their open day last year, didn't you? I think that was in April of last year. I was there filming the day. It was a fantastic day. There was over 30 wrestlers from all over the Southwest that congregated to the new unit in Salisbury, and Joel Redman Bullitt was there. I think Eddie Ryan and L.A. Taylor were down there as guest coaches, and you were there with Jordan, Ruby, and Toby, of course, and I'd say another 25 plus people that were crammed into that brilliant unit. But I'd say that was a really fun day. We did have a chance to kind of catch up and say hi. But I've got to say, when I saw you train, and you know, the way that you kind of hit the ropes with every fiber in your being, and the way that you did them drills, just full of admiration for kind of, you know, the way that you tackled that day. I'm guessing that's, you know, a typical training session for you.
Yeah, that's quite normal, especially when having been at like Eddie Ryan's in Plymouth, him and Joel are quite similar, where you do a lot of cardio to start with, so you're quite fit in that aspect where you're able to run for a while and do a bit more cardio wise. So going to All Star South for that open day, it wasn't like a difficult experience, but it was nice to like feel like it's similar to the way that Eddie Ryan trains and the coaches there as well. You've got Niwa, you've got Bullen, you've got Joe Redman, three of the best, especially three of the best heavyweights in the country. Just, I think they're all amazing. And the training that day was really fun to do. And we had done one session with them beforehand as well when they were in their previous place in this little attic we had done before. Yeah. But yeah, no, 100%, I want to come back down. But yeah.
There we go. And I want to talk a bit more about the gimmick, the persona, the name of the Warrior Spirit. And we did have a question that came through before we went live. Let me just find it here from Darren Ewan. And Darren asks, how did you come up with the name the Warrior Spirit? So tell us a little bit about that, because we touched on it at the top of the show about the slight name change and the change of attitude and the change of school and kind of how you've really kind of turned things up to 11 over the last couple of years. But tell us a little bit about the moniker, the nickname, the Warrior Spirit, first of all, and what it means to you as well.
So it's quite a personal thing at the same time, because a lot of it is from myself personally just growing up and realizing the things I've been through, a lot of people haven't. So it was quite nice in that sense to think of like something that for me personally would translate into wrestling. And I always thought like warriors and like knights and stuff were always really cool, and I was always like a big nerd growing up, and I was always really into like fantasy. So I thought, well, I quite like the idea of being a warrior, because that's how I identify myself, because I've gone through so much. And it was talking with Toby, Jordan and Ruby Manitoba, literally just talking through them with my friends and my partner, just being like, what sort of name can I get? Like, I want to have warrior involved in it. What could I have that fits in the wrestling name? And it was actually Toby St. John that helped me come up with the name of the Warrior Spirit, Echo, because I wanted to keep Echo because I think the name's great. It's my name now. It's me. Just having that and him helping me having a way to translate it into wrestling, because I'm terrible with words. I don't know what's cool and what's not. But having someone just say, I think this would be a really cool name for a character, and I was like, well, I actually think that fits me quite well personally. So it was credit to Toby St. John, to be honest, helping me translate it into like an actual phrase.
Shout out to Farmstrong. But I want to talk about your gear now. And I flashed up this picture earlier. That's definitely the before. And now this is kind of a more updated version of Echo and a few more there. And I don't know if you'd describe that as a cape, maybe, but a really stunning look. The colour, just the whole look of it, the gold flashes and everything. And, you know, maybe a slightly newer version of your gear as well, but the gear has really, really stepped up a number of levels. Tell us a little bit about the gear and about kind of your choices behind the gear, the colours and the style in particular.
So in the first one with the cape, it was actually based on Daenerys in Game of Thrones because I'm a big fan of the show. And a lot of people think it's Princess Jasmine, which I get quite a lot. But yeah, no, it's based off Game of Thrones and Daenerys and her being Queen of the Dragons and the rightful Queen of Game of Thrones. So that's what I wanted to base it off at first, because that was my first set of gear as Echo the Warrior Spirit. So that was what I was aiming for at the time. And then the second one, I'd just seen like a bunch of like stuff online that I, yeah. So I had a bunch of like nerdy shit on my like Pinterest, to be honest. And I just like a bunch of stuff, and because I'm into fantasy stuff, I'd seen like one picture come up, and I sent like this picture as like a this like female knight, and she had like a sword, she had this like really nice like blue and gold gear, like armor, and I sent it to Empress, and I was like, could you make me some gear like inspired by this? And she did, and that's that. But I've got three new sets of gear coming. I've got two from the same person that made the cape gear come in at the end of this month, start of next month, and then I've got one with Empress coming again, inspired by another piece of armor, which will be exciting, coming at the end of April. So I've got some nice, interesting new gear coming. But I like to pride myself now, before no, pride myself now on some like some good quality gear, because if you don't have nice gear as a wrestler, it doesn't make you stand out, and people think, oh well, they're as good as their gear then, you know. So, but like my old gear, plain and simple, it's good for first gear when you're first starting out, but it doesn't really speak about who you are as a wrestler. It's just very flat. So having nice gear that kind of fits like the character and the gimmick you're going for just helps you stand out compared to everyone else, because no one else has a cape in it, so that's quite cool.
The cape definitely stands out for sure.
Ryan does have a red cape, and it's very, very cool.
There you go. But and we spoke earlier about kind of how you started off the Uber baby face. But when I've worked with you many times backstage at shows, interviewed you backstage, and I think there's definitely a lot more of an edge to you nowadays, a lot more of a serious side, maybe a little bit of an attitude with your new persona, your gimmick. Tell us a little bit about your persona, because like I say, there is, whereas before it is kind of like, you know, the bubblegum Uber baby face, now it's, you know, a lot more of a serious side to Echo the Warrior Spirit. And we did actually have a question that ties in with that. Let me just find it here from Anne Bruton, who's watching this live at home via Facebook. Thank you, Anne. Hi, we love Echo. Do you prefer heel or face? So first of all, tell us a little bit about your persona, your character. And I think it does interchange once in a while between face and heel, doesn't it? But kind of give us the context behind your character.
So my character is just me, to be honest. People that know me know I'm not shy once you get to know me, but I'm quite a shy person. So it's hard to like portray it sometimes, because I don't really know how to come across in the way I am. But 9 times out of 10, it's just me amplified up a bit, because I can't be someone else, in the sense where it just comes across as ingenuine. So you kind of have to be yourself and just put it into something. So I put myself into a character that I would like to do, because I'm into fantasy stuff. So that's me in that sense. But being the warrior spirit is just, it's kind of like having like that fighting spirit and never backing down and fully committing to everything you do and like burning the boats, you know, just never half-assing anything and just hoping for the best and constantly trying to get a win. And that kind of correlates to being a face or a heel. Like, you should always strive to go get the win. You might not always get it, but you should always be aiming for that as your main goal. And that's what I do. I always try and make it look like I'm going to win, because that's what I want to do. I want to win. That's the whole point of wrestling. You want to win the match. You want to win the gold. And if you're not aiming for that, it's like, well, why are you wrestling? Because you should be aiming to win. That's the whole point. You don't want to aim to lose. That's not the mindset you want. So I'd say that's me, but I don't really have a preference between heel or face. I quite enjoy both for different aspects of things. I feel I like being face when I'm in there with someone that is way more experienced than me, because you can learn so much more being the face, because 9 times out of 10, the heel will be the person leading the match. So to be led by someone that knows how to do that is night and day. Like, it will make the match 10 times better. But I like to be a heel when I'm in there with someone new, or if someone as new as me. I don't really have a preference. I do enjoy both, to be honest. Sometimes it's nice to be a bit mean. Sometimes it's nice to be nice and happy. Sometimes it's just nice to be a nasty bitch, to be honest.
Yeah. But on Friday, you were teaming with The Forefront, weren't you? And I know that they are the bad guys in New Wave Wrestling at the moment. So, you know, you clearly got booed on Friday, I'm sure.
I did get booed on Friday. But to be honest, it's an odd one, because I was nasty on Friday, but I had a good time when I was just messing around, to be honest. Like, in a sense, like, those boys are just funny, and they do some weird stuff, but, like, it's always good stuff. But those three, I just think, well, four of them, including James Ellis, they're just four of the best up-and-comers at the minute as well for, like, young talent.
There we go. And you were the honorary member on Friday. And maybe again, who knows? Who knows? And let me ask you about your wrestling style, because you described that, you know, back in the early days, you were doing Hurricane Runners wild and crazy moves. But obviously, I think that your character, your in-ring style is probably, you know, a lot more grounded nowadays. How would you describe your in-ring wrestling style presently in 2024?
I'd say more now it's more like a hard-hitting, like, striking style. Like, I don't really do anything high-flying anymore unless I have to bring it out on the day. You know, it's never something I'd go to on the night unless I absolutely have to. But 9 out of 10 is more that hard-hitting style, to be honest, because My new thing is I just aim for the head, because if knock the head off, can't do much then, can they? So most of the time, my moves and my strikes just aim for this area. That's my main thing. I just focus on a place, because that's just how you're going to weaken the opponent.
Yeah, well said, well said. And jumping back to the questions, we got to Richie Horrigan watching this live via YouTube. And I think he's quite keen to know what other companies you might be keen to work for that you haven't done so already. And he specifically mentions Attack Pro Wrestling and whether you'd be interested in working for Attack. Obviously, you've got close ties with New Wave and with Chaos. But Attack Pro Wrestling, or are there any other wrestling companies that you've not worked for that you would definitely like to?
100%. Like, Attack's definitely one of the places this year that I'd love to debut for. I enjoy watching their shows. Like, I help out some of them now that I live here in Wales, and I will be doing that on this weekend coming in for Mania weekend. I'll be helping out at those shows because I enjoy being part of them in that sense. Like, they're nice shows to be at. So 100%, I'd love to be on Attack one day. We'll keep pushing for it. But if it comes, it comes. Happy days. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. But 100%, that's a show I would aim to get on. Obviously, like, you've got to aim for the big ones. Like, I wanted Rev Pro. I got that, thankfully. So that's been done. If I go back, amazing. If not, it's okay. And then I'd love to do Progress. I'd love to do a lot of places, to be honest. Like, I want to branch out more into, like, the North scene, and more of that London area. Like, you've got places like Purpose, and, like, there's loads of companies in the UK that are doing so well. I just want to be everywhere. I want to wrestle new people, because that's the only way you're going to get better, is to wrestle people that have done these things. And much as I have been doing it for years, I haven't done an awful lot, to be honest. I've come from a little town in Cornwall and then come here now to South Wales to try and get as good as possible. So kind of happy to work anywhere. Just want to work in new places, wrestle new people. But 100%, like, top companies, it's always good to have, like, a short-term goal and a long-term goal. Obviously, long-term goal is to one day be a full-time wrestler, sign somewhere. But short-term wise, there's so many little promotions. Like, I say little, they're not little. There's so many, like, local promotions I want to do. There's so many ones in Europe I want to do. There's just so many places I want to wrestle for, because just want to wrestle. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do is wrestle.
You want to be as busy as possible. And we got to Anne with another question. Anne Bruton, who would be your dream opponent? So do you have a bit of a bucket list? We just spoke about promotions you might want to work for, but any other talent out there on the UK or maybe further afield that you would consider a dream opponent that you'd love to get in the ring with?
Like 100%, like in the UK, like I want to wrestle Lizzie Evo, I want to wrestle like Emerson Jane, Kanji. Like, there's so much talent out there at the minute that I just want to wrestle everyone. But 100%, like those three in the UK right now. There's probably 100 more I can list. There's so many good ones. I'd say, like signed at the minute. My dream match has always been like Charlotte Flair, man. She's one of the best. If I could ever get there one day and wrestle Charlotte Flair, I'd be like, right, I've made it now. Because she just is the best. She's sick. She's so athletic. She's such a good wrestler. Yeah. Those are the dream opponents at the minute.
There we go. And like I said, I think Charlotte Flair is probably top of many people's list when it comes to dream matches, dream opponents. But we're going to ask you for your socials very, very soon, Echo. But before we do, just a quick reminder that April, my lineup for April is already out, kicking off 2nd of April with Arthur Scurrow. And then, of course, I mentioned him earlier, Flash Morgan Webster joins me live on Wrestling with Jonas on Monday, the 8th of April. And then we've got the boys behind Sovereign Pro joining me on the 18th. Joe Blazer joins me live on the show on the 24th of April. And then capping off the month, the 26th of April, we got Danny Black joining me live on Wrestling with Jonas. All the interviews live in the month of April. And of course, I mentioned him earlier, but this is a big guest in April, Flash Morgan Webster, Monday, the 8th of April. And if you haven't done so already, check this one out. It was live last night, just 24 hours ago on Wrestling with Jonas. The brand new Progress World Champion, Kid Lykos, joined me live. And that is now out on YouTube and whatever audio platform you download your podcast, of course. I almost forgot what medium we are talking on. But before we let you go, Echo, and this has been a wonderful conversation and a fantastic catch-up from when we last had you on the show 4 years ago. But if any of my followers, listeners, viewers want to reach out and learn more about Echo, the Warrior Spirit, where can they do so? And the details are scrolling along the bottom of the screen, but I'll leave it over to you.
Yeah, so on Facebook, it's just Echo Reed PW. Instagram, it is echo.pw. And then on X, it is _EchoPW. You can find me in any of those. You can shoot me a message. I might not see it straight away, but I will eventually get around to it.
Absolutely. And some fine artwork there from Elliot93, if I'm not mistaken. And we've also got this match to look forward to just around the corner, 28th of April. And you're going to be part of a fatal four-way match. Aluna, Tilly Rose, L.A. Taylor, somebody you're very familiar with, of course, and yourself at Walking Tall for Southwest Wrestling. You must be looking forward to that show and getting you back on a Southwest Wrestling card.
Yeah, 100%. I do love a Southwest show. I think they're great and it's, I like the women's division there. It's called the Warriors Division, so quite biased on the name. I think it's great. But yeah, no, I love wrestling for Southwest. I think it's amazing, and I'm excited to be in a four-way match. I haven't done that in a while, so it makes a change because I went from doing four-ways everywhere to never doing them again for a while. So it's nice to have like that little bring back and get back into it, especially like with Ellie Taylor, who obviously I'm quite familiar with, and I train now with Tilly Rose and Aluna, so it's quite nice to have a match with us all together.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and I'll be there to witness it go down. But if you've got a final message for your friends, fans, followers out there from Echo, any final words to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Jonas from Echo?
Check out local wrestling, innit? Like, if you like it on when you're a kid, or if you like watching it on TV, just look at a local one, see there's someone nearby, and just check it out. You haven't got to love it. If you don't like it, you haven't got to go back. But I say check out local wrestling. And if you want to try wrestling, do your research on schools. Make sure you go to one where the coaches are reputable. They know what they're doing. Just have fun with it.
There we go. But it's been 4 years since we last had you on the show. We're not going to leave it 4 years till the next one. We'll do a part three much sooner for sure. But the Warrior Spirit, Echo, you've been a wonderful guest on episode 355 of Wrestling with Jonas. And I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
There we go. We'll see you soon.